and we are short on time, so let's just jump right in without much review. Verses 5 and 6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And we've several times pointed out, I don't think that this is really inspired instructions for farming. There are some inspired instructions for farming over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I don't think really this is inspired instructions for farming. This is principles that apply, and we've been applying it to our evangelistic efforts, soul winning, if you will. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The classic application of that verse is in our evangelistic efforts. And so let's jump right into that. Let's ask the Lord's help once again. Father, do help as we look into your word. Father, give us great help that we need today to see this precious seed for all that it is and all that it should be to us as we seek to sow it abroad, Father, far and wide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I have a question for you, a little bit of review, because it's been several weeks. We said, if we're going to apply this to our evangelistic efforts in verse 6, there is precious seed. What is the seed? What is the seed that we carry and spread? It is the Word of God. I'm glad everybody spoke up. The seed is the Word of God. That's the seed that we carry and spread. Now, what word in verse 6 is used to describe the seed? Now, we're going to take a new approach this morning. What a new point in our outline. What word is used to describe the seed?
Precious.
Precious. Here's my question for you. In your evangelistic efforts, as you seek to sow the seed, do you count the Word of God that you spread? Do you count it precious? Do you count it precious? What do you do? Just think of anything. Don't think of necessarily just the Word of God. What do you do with something? Name some things that are precious.
Gold.
I heard gold. I heard family. Who's, what else? Huh? Two opposite, you know. Sleep. Sleep is precious. Friends.
Memories.
What do you do? Let's just think of physical things. Let's focus on the physical. Let's gold,
silver,
diamonds, platinum, uranium.
Hey, that's worth a lot.
Just ask Iran. Yeah. What do you do with things that are precious?
Preserve
them. What else? Guard and protect them. What else? Keep them close. What else? Get more of it. Yeah, you want to get more of it. You want to, what else?
Sell
it for something else that's precious. You distribute it.
You
covet it. Okay.
Brag about it.
Oh, what else? What else do you do with things that are precious? You enjoy it. All right. You guys are in a good mood this morning. Thank you, Pastor Mast. I'm going to take and apply this to the seed. If it's precious, in our evangelistic efforts, and we use it, we distribute it, we think of it as precious, what do we have to do with it? Here's three thoughts that I have, and you can come up with more, but three thoughts, we probably won't even get through them this morning. Try to get more. It's precious, you try to get more. It's precious, you maintain what you have. It's precious, you be careful how you distribute it. All right, let's talk about this. We're giving this, by the way, unlike other things that are precious, we're giving this seed away for free because we can never run out. And yet, it's still precious. Well, let's talk about the precious seed of the Word of God. Let me say this. Our evangelism will be more effective when we count the Word of God and the Gospel precious. when we truly consider it precious, that will make, as we seek to sow the seed, as we seek to distribute the Word of God, as we talk to people and we open up the Word of God, our evangelism will be more effective when we consider it precious. So the first thing we said was try to get more of what is precious. Let me say this. You want to be effective in evangelism? Pay attention when salvation is preached. Pay attention when salvation is preached. You know, sometimes you hear the gospel from, you know, you're saved. I'm already saved. Well, the gospel is preached. Well, that's not for me. I'm already saved. That's sometimes the attitude, and then you zone out, you tune out. Don't do that. Let me ask a question. Let me make a statement first. So here's what I determined to do when I took a pastorate in Kansas in 2007. Here's what I determined to do. I told the church, I said, we're just going to make it known, we're going to make it standing that the first, whatever else I might preach an evangelistic message or preach salvation, as it comes up in the text, as I work through a text verse by verse through a book of the Bible perhaps, whenever else that might happen, you just know that on the first Sunday morning of every calendar month, there's going to be a sermon on salvation. Maybe urging people to get saved, maybe urging Christians to be active in evangelism, whatever. There's going to be a strong salvation emphasis on the first Sunday morning of every month. And if you have somebody you're dealing with about salvation, invite them to church. That, you know, say, hey, the Sunday, November 3rd, come to church with me, and go home to lunch with me after church. First Sunday morning of every month, there's going to be a strong, I just made that a standing rule during the time of my pastorate. Now, do the math with me. So I get behind the pulpit and I open the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, 52 weeks a year. That's 156 times. 156 times I get behind the pulpit and open up the Word of God and teach and preach. 156 times in a calendar year. 12 of those times, 12 of those 156, probably a far less percentage than Paul's preaching. 12 of those 156 times was a strong salvation emphasis. And we had a man in our church in Kansas. He's always telling me what I'm doing wrong as a pastor. Always telling me what I'm doing wrong, what I should do better. Sometime the music is too fast. And another time, the music is too slow. Same guy, nothing else changed. One time, there's too much prayer. I don't know how there can be, but there's too much. And another time, there's not enough prayer. Same guy, nothing else has changed. So scheduled a meeting with me. Got to talk to you about something really important. You're preaching the gospel too much. We're all saved. And immediately I thought, I'm not so sure about you.
Yeah, right. Right. I was kind of leaning the other way.
Yeah. Anyway, I did preach more than just those 12 times. It comes up in the text. But here's a question. Is it biblical to preach and teach salvation to a group of people that are already saved? Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Turn with me to Romans chapter. And this is I opened up the scriptures with this man and shared this with him. Of course, he still wasn't satisfied, but Romans chapter 1, and in verses 1 through 6, Paul is basically, this is from Paul, and verse 7, 2, so verse 1 through 6 is from Paul, this is a letter from Paul, verse 7, 2, all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, is he writing to Christians or not? He's writing to Christians. He's giving them his intention, and look what he says in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Is it biblical to preach the gospel to people who are already saved? Yes, it is. Absolutely. What could be the purpose of such preaching? You're already saved! What's the purpose of such preaching? Brother Carey.
Remind us of that joy that we have.
Amen.
Why we should be joyous and share it with other people.
Amen. Brother Gary. Yes, absolutely. In any group of any size of people who profess to be saved, there are those who have made false profession. And there are those who struggle. Maybe they're really saved, but they struggle with it on a regular basis, and the preaching of salvation helps confirm that to them. Miss Luella. The gospel is the power of God. You want the power of God, Brother Chris. So walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith.
Whatever the problem is in the world, go get a gospel track. It's somewhere in there. If it's repentance, if it's confession, if it's study out that doctrine.
If it's a good tract.
It's kind of like, yeah. So, yeah, it's the schema, it's the template.
Amen.
The Christian
life. Amen. Did I see a hand over here? Mrs. Julie. The death for Christian living, you mean? We're dead with Him, buried and risen to walk in new life. Brother Adam.
When Paul was talking to the Corinthian church about the Lord's table, he talked about how this is good in remembrance of me. So if we're going to remember Christ and Christ's atoning work on Calvary, and I mean, if that's not what salvation preaching is, I don't know what is. But how in the world could that be a bad thing? This is good in remembrance of me. I mean,
amen.
Remember Him.
Amen. Anybody else? Miss Beth. Yes. Yes. And that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. Perfect. Brother Gary again.
Just the principle of love in that, because that love is all that can call us.
Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And as I have loved, so love ye one another. That's our pattern for love. I saw Chris's hand.
That's something that has been agreed on before the foundation of the world began, will be preached on in the new kingdom and through all eternity. I think it's okay to preach it.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Wow.
Pay attention. If you think the gospel is precious, you're going to pay attention when a man of God stands up here and proclaims it. You're going to pay attention. What are you going to gain from it? Well, you might know that, as Beth said, you might know you got saved, but still not know all of that, what your salvation includes. You might, you know what? When the gospel is preached from the pulpit, it's not just always Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again from the dead according to the scriptures. Repent, believe in Him. Or it could just be a 2-minute sermon and we go home. The preacher might at some point focus on redemption. What does it mean to be redeemed? Purchased from the slave market of sin and set free, and preach on that. The preacher might focus on sanctified. Taken from the dirt pile, cleaned up and set apart, ready for use. The preacher might focus on the new birth, new creature in Christ. The preacher might focus on, I am adopted. My Father loves me. Adoption. The preacher might focus on resurrected to walk in new life. There's all kinds of things you can approach salvation from every single angle. There's all kinds of things, and you might have got saved and not know about redemption, sanctification, new birth, adoption, resurrection in Christ. You might have got saved and not realized the before and after picture. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but I've been quickened together with Him. You might have got saved and not know that you're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You might have gotten saved, but still not know much about what all your salvation includes. So what are you going to gain from listening to gospel preaching? Oh, he's preaching the gospel again. Time to go to sleep. No, don't go to sleep. Clarify. Learn. Don't you want to know what happened to you when you got saved? Don't you want to know more about what your Lord Jesus Christ did for you on a cross of Calvary?
What is happening to you?
What is happening? What He's doing through you right now? Don't you want to know there's another, you know, might preach on salvation and preach on the exclusivity of Jesus. Well, I got saved, but maybe Buddha works for somebody else. No, we don't. Something is wrong. Not just with the man in Kansas, but with a person in Iowa or anywhere. Something is wrong with a person who claims to trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but doesn't want to hear about it. By the way, the very next service after that man talked to me about that, we sang, "I love to tell the story for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest."
Amen. I was thinking about that song.
Brother Adam.
It wasn't that long ago I came across this folder in my computer and had some pictures of our wedding photos. And you know, as I was looking at those wedding photos, I was reminded of that day. And I was reminded of all the emotions in them. And really what happened that day, the union that took place. And it rekindled the love of my heart for my wife. And when I hear all the salvation messages that we heard in the Jubilee last week, it was a similar sensation to where,
amen. That's right. Sit. Even if you do nothing more than sit in the pew and in your heart and with your mouth, say amen. You know, by the way, the ordinances are preaching of salvation too. Baptism, down in the water and it came back up. That's the preaching. That's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the believer's identification with Him. The Lord's table. We present a clear picture of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and believers' communion with Him. Mrs. Tiggis. Yes. Yes. Do you count the gospel precious? You're going to spread the gospel. You're burying what kind of seed? You're burying precious seed. Do you count the gospel precious? Then pay attention when salvation is preached. Pay attention when salvation is preached. You may know how a person gets saved, but you don't know many different scriptures about it or many different approaches. Well, then pay attention when it's preached. The preacher won't always go to the same exact passage. The preacher's not, every time he preaches salvation, he's not always going to run through the Romans road.
That's right.
The regular preaching of salvation from different passages. By the way, you can preach salvation from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, from Acts, from Romans, from 1 Corinthians or 2nd. I can keep going. You can preach salvation from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
That's true. There ain't a book in the Bible you can't preach salvation.
The regular preaching of salvation from different passages helps you become more versatile, become more well-rounded in your evangelism.
Amen.
But only if you've paid attention to it. You'll hear from the preacher things that you can use yourself. By the way, he won't mind. He's not copyrighted it. What will you hear? What will you hear? Let me just hear from you. What will you hear from the preacher that you can use yourself in your own evangelistic efforts? What will you hear?
The love of God for lost
sinners. Make it specific. What does the preacher say that you actually repeat nearly word for word or paraphrase? What will you hear? A question, a diagnostic question. Preacher will ask a diagnostic question.
I'm going to use that.
What do you believe? A diagnostic question. What else? What else will you hear? Does he hear your hand? What will you hear? Brother Gary. Different verses to use. Mm-hmm. How about you'll hear good explanations of Bible verses. You'll hear Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You'll hear a good explanation of what that means. The wages of sin is death. What does that mean? You'll hear a good explanation of that you can use. You'll hear illustrations and stories or testimonials that then you can use in your evangelism. You'll hear analogies, parables. You'll hear examples. You'll hear here's what you'll hear: quips and wisdom and wit that drive a point home. You know those things, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to say zingers. Those things that the preacher throws out that just, you know, 5, 6, 7 words, and you're like, wow, that hit me. Yeah. Write that down and take that to your neighbor.
I tell you what, preacher. This week we heard Brother Tully drop a pearl when he talked about the word see. Is understand?
Oh, yeah. Cannot see the kingdom of God.
Cannot see. That means understand. And there's different places in the Bible that causes you to go and search that word. Who would search out see? You know what I mean? Until he said that, now that makes you go and search out see.
Amen. You'll hear things from a preacher that you can use. So, count it precious. Number one, try to get more. That means pay attention when a gospel is preached. You want more. You want more seed in your sack. Which of us doesn't want more seed in our sack? Try to get more. And secondly, I said, maintain what you have that's precious. Maintain what you have that's precious. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but how do you maintain what you have that's precious? Well, you got to use it regularly. If I went and bought a brand new Corvette, broke open Meredith's piggy bank and took the money and went and bought a brand new Corvette, and I park it in my garage, I drive it straight home from the dealership. Straight home. I don't even stop for a Coke on the way home. I drive it straight home from a dealership and park it in my garage. And then 20 years later, I go back out to my garage. What am I going to have? A pile of rust. The tires are going to be flat and rotted. All the seals in the engine are going to be dried and worn out. The engine won't even start even if I put a new battery in, because the battery ran, it won't even start. All the bearings are going to be dry. The grease is going to be all over the. I'm going to have junk. Why? Because I didn't use it. How do I take care of that? I got to take it out regularly. I got to drive it several hours a week and make maybe one long trip every couple of months. Several miles a week, and use it regularly. How do you maintain the seed in your sack? Get it out and use it. Use it regularly. How do you maintain what you have that's precious? Store it properly. Store it properly. I'm not talking about now storing the paper between these leather covers. I'm talking about the word in your head and your heart. Memory work. Learn, memorize scripture. There are courses. You can get little booklets of memory verses that's strictly on soul winning and stuff. And there's book after book after book of those. Store it properly. Examine it thoroughly. I take care of my guns most of the time. You get them out, you look, you make sure everything's all right with it. Well, by the way, everything's all right with this, but make sure everything's all right with your understanding of it.
Sure.
Examine it thoroughly. Maintain what you have that's precious. And I won't spend a whole lot of time on that, because that'll probably come out in future lessons. So if we count it precious, we try to get more, we maintain what we have, and then we're careful. Thirdly, be careful how you distribute what's precious. Here's what I'm going to say about this. Learn when not to waste time and effort. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Just one verse here, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls. He's talking about something precious. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Be careful how you distribute what's precious. Learn when not to waste time and effort. There are people you can approach that no matter what you say, they don't want anything to do with it. Well, then quit beating your head against a brick wall. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Verses 14 and 15. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Shake off the dust of your feet, he says. I'm done. But having said that, I do want to say this. Look at Luke chapter 10. Verse 10 and 11. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, this is what you're still saying when they don't receive you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. If it appears the seed won't take root, we still owe them some seed. I was out door knocking years and years ago with a young man from our church years ago, and knocked on a door, and I think what I said was that we're telling our neighbors to be ready for eternity. And this guy said, well, I believe in reincarnation. He took our tract. He said, I believe in reincarnation. And I said, you believe that when you die, you're going to come back as something or someone else. And this is going to be repeat over and over and over. And you're going to die and come back. He said, yes, that's what I believe. And I wasn't going to, you know, He also said he made it clear, I don't want to hear from you. He did take our tract, but I believe in reincarnation. I don't want anything to do with you. So I just said, well, be sure you know that the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So I addressed reincarnation as well as what I originally said when I opened the door, be ready for eternity. And you should have seen a look on his face, and we just walked away. And the young man is with me. He said, "Where's that verse?" And I said, "Well, that's Hebrews 9:27." You know, I want to memorize that verse. But even though the seed would not take root, I still owed him, you know, a seed. Be ye sure. He said, "We're going to shake the dust off against you, but be sure of this: the kingdom of God has come near here." So be careful. Learn when not to waste time and effort, but be sure we owe them the seed regardless of whether it appears it'll take root. We owe them the opportunity at the great white throne judgment to hear on March 27th, 2003, you heard the gospel from Victor Mowery. We owe them the opportunity to hear that in their judgment. We owe them the opportunity when they hear it again years later to say, I remember that, and that seed may take root later. They may trust Christ later. But we owe them the seed. So, do you count the word precious? If so, get more. Pay attention when salvation is preached. If so, maintain what you have. Look, you've got to store it properly. You've got to use it regularly. And if so, be careful how you distribute it. Learn when the time that you waste casting pearls before swine could be time that their next door neighbor's getting saved. So, questions or comments? We got a couple of minutes, Brother Chris.
Someone underestimated the power of the word.
Yes.
I was unsaved and I was drunk.
heard the Bible Answer Man at 2 o'clock in the morning on the TV.
Amen.
And talk about the second death. But the fearful and unbelieving, abominable, and whoremongers, and all that verse, which is the second death. I did not understand what he was talking about. It was a question. What is the second death? And then he said that verse, and then he explained it, and it didn't make any sense to me. But I tell you what, it freaked me out. The second death sounded horrible. And I began to ask priests and pastors, what was the second death? And of course, I couldn't get a straight answer out anyway. That was 2 weeks before I got saved.
Amen.
So, don't underestimate.
Yeah.
You see somebody that could be even being a drunken stupor.
The word of God. Two things. The word of God says in Jeremiah, "Is not my word like a hammer?" And then the Bible says in Isaiah that His word will not return unto Him void. It will accomplish the purposes that He said.
On stony ground. They still got it.
They still got it. Brother Kerry. I was out door to door with another fellow one time, and we walked up to a closed gate, and in a driveway, a fence in a driveway, chain link, and there was a guy on his back porch grooming his dog, and I walked up and just started to open the gate, because he's right there, and he said, "If you got anything to do with religion, I don't want nothing to do with you," and I just kept on walking. I said, "We don't have anything to do with religion. We're here to talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ." We sat there and talked to that guy for 2 hours. Even if it appears the seed won't take root, we still owe them the seed. We still owe them the seed. Still owe them. Well, amen, amen. Count the seed precious. That's my point today, is count the seed precious. If you count it precious, you're going to want to get more. You need more seed in your sack. You're going to maintain what you have, and you're going to be careful how you distribute it. And you can think of other things. If you count the seed precious, you can think of other things, the way you would treat the word of God that we distribute when we're out on evangelism, the sowing of our seed. But count the seed precious. It's he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the word of God this morning, Lord God. I do pray that you would give us a renewed love for the precious seed that we bear, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us in our understanding of how we ought to go about distributing, sowing the seed. Lord, thank you for a good time of testimony and discovery of your word this morning. And I just pray, Lord God, that you would have your hand of blessing upon the services all day today. Father, guide and direct, that you would be honored and glorified, that we would hear from your word and be obedient to those things that we hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.